And it is a thrill, a joy, to be at Victory Baptist Church this morning. We had the privilege to get introduced to some of you Wednesday evening. And then we've been here all this rest of the week with the pastor and his family. And we've enjoyed so much being in their home again. We were with them, as he told you, in England twice and had such great times. My wife was with me there and she got to meet all of them. And she teaches the children while I preach. She normally goes and takes care of the junior church and all of that. But she's not able to be here today, but she sends her greetings. But we've had a good day. And it's been a good week, and the Lord has just blessed, and we're thankful. We were out knocking on doors every day, telling people about the Lord, about this church, about the work. And it's just good to meet all of you and to fellowship with you. I am a full-time missionary evangelist. I do not pastor a church. I pastored a Baptist church for 20 years. But this is my calling. This is what God has called me to do. I'm sure of that. And I've been doing it now for a few years. I have been a Christian. I have been saved 68 years. I know I don't look that old. I know you're thinking something, but oh yeah, that's it. I have been preaching for 53 years. And I've been happily married for 51 years, almost 52. And I've been in evangelism for about 33 years now. So as the pastor said, I travel all the time. I preach somewhere almost every night. And not only preach here in America, but my wife and I go to different countries, as he stated. I think about 22 or 23 different countries we've been in and preached. And we have been to India, and it's wonderful to meet these folks from India and to get acquainted with them yesterday, or at least with the husband. And we enjoyed fellowshipping with them. I have a great ministry in India, and that is we distribute Bibles, especially in one particular state called Andhra Pradesh. And my wife and I, through the help of folks who donate money, we've been able to distribute over 120,000 Bibles. Amen. In that one particular state. So it's a great ministry. They don't have very many Bibles in India. There's 1,200,000,000 people, and 89% of them are Hindu worshipers, some are others, but very few Christians and very few Bibles. How they need the Bible, how they need the Word of God, because that's what makes us free, is the truth. And the truth, of course, is the Word of God. But anyway, we've enjoyed meeting them and fellowshipping, telling them where I've been in India. I've been all over India. But I've been in Mumbai, where they're from, different places and all of that. But as I said, I've enjoyed being in the home of these people. You ever been around a home where they've got seven boys? Man, there's a lot of activity goes on. I'll tell you, there's a lot of action taking place. You won't get bored. I'll guarantee you that right now. And they have something going all the time. And they're sweet kids, very well behaved, and one wonderful family. God has sent them here. And he sent them here for a purpose, and that is to raise up this great church. I'm expecting great things. I just can't wait to get back to Tennessee and tell them there what's going on here in Commerce, Texas. I'm reminded of the old rooster. This big old rooster was standing out in a barnyard one day, and a big truckload of ostrich eggs went around, and as they went around the curve, they hit a bump, and one of those big ostrich eggs bounced out and rolled down into the barnyard. Well, there stood that big rooster, and man, he started looking at that egg, and he kept looking at it, and he looked at it, and he thought, man, he'd never seen an egg like that before in his life. So he got under it and pushed it down in front of the chicken house. And so he called all the chickens out, and he made a little speech to the chickens. He said, now, ladies, I want you to see this, but, he said, I don't want you to think I'm putting pressure on anybody. But he said, I would like for you to see what they're doing in other parts of the country. And so I would like for folks to know what you're doing here in this part of the country. And we went and looked at that building yesterday, as I said it a while ago, and I was just amazed, you know, how it's going to fit in with your building and right here on this beautiful corner. So God has just given you, thanks to these folks, a wonderful location. And man, get in here and help them out. Get in here. You want to be happy?
Yes.
How many of you are glad today that you're not in a hospital? Let's see your hands. How many of you are glad you're not in jail or in a nursing home? I'm glad I'm here, aren't you? I wouldn't be here. I wouldn't want to be anywhere else but in the house of God. Boy, you couldn't pay me to be somewhere else. This is the place. This is where the Lord is. This is where the joy comes. This is where you get fed from the spiritual part. And this is what you need, and this is what people need. So many folks think today, if I become a Christian, I won't be happy, and I'll be a miserable creature, and my life will be ruined, and all of that. Not so, my friend. Not so. Those who are in the will of God, people who are living for the Lord, people who put Jesus Christ first, are the happiest people on the face of the earth. Believe me, I'm telling you, I know what I'm talking about. This is a thrill to be able to serve the Lord and to live for Him and all of those things. So I've enjoyed the week. I'm going to leave after the service this morning and head back for Tennessee. So it'll take me a couple of days to get back home. But you pray for me. And we'll look forward to coming back. Lord willing, we'll be back next year. We always check on these folks, make sure they're still in there, still serving the Lord. No, I'm just kidding you. I don't worry about that. But we're anxious to see what God is going to do here and how He's going to bless you all and what's coming up next. Isn't it exciting? It's just exciting to see what God's going to do next, you know? And if I was you, I'd get in here and I'd get on fire. I'd just see what I could see what God's going to do with us. Well, this morning, you got your Bible?
Sure.
All right, open it to the Gospel of Mark. Mark chapter 5. Mark chapter 5, we're going to begin reading at verse 18. The Gospel of Mark chapter 5, and look at verse 18, if you will. Mark chapter 5 and verse 18. And we'll stand when you find those scriptures. You stand to your feet, and we're going to read from the Bible, from the Word of God. Mark chapter 5, looking at verse 18. And please, when God brings this to your mind, pray for my wife and I and our ministry. Rekindling revival fires, as a pastor said a minute ago. And that's our burden, to see people, churches like this all over the country being raised up and on fire for the Lord, and back to soul winning, back to reading your Bible, back to praying, back to serving God, back to doing what God has called us to do. Yeah? That's what we're out and our ministry is. All right, this morning, Mark chapter 5, looking at verse 18. You have it? All right, follow along. And when he was come into the ship, he that had been possessed with the devil prayed him that he might be with him. Howbeit Jesus suffered him not, but saith unto him, Go home to thy friends and tell them how great things the Lord hath done for thee and hath had compassion on thee. And he departed and began to publish in Decapolis how great things Jesus hath done for him, and all men did marvel. Notice, if you will, verse 19, and see this phrase. Jesus said to him, Go home to thy friends and tell them how great things the Lord hath done for thee. Go home to thy friends and tell them. And I thought maybe that would just be a good challenge for us here today. Are you saved? Have you had a personal experience with Christ? Go home and tell somebody about it. Go home and tell your friends. Go home and tell your relatives. Go home and tell those around you. Go home and tell those who work with you what great things the Lord hath done for thee. Don't you think that'd be a good idea? Don't you think that's a good challenge this morning for us? Well, let's pray and then we'll talk about it. Father, thank you for these that have made that special effort to come to your house this morning. Lord, there are folks here today that long to hear from you. They long to hear about the Word of God, and they're hungry for the Word. And I pray, Lord, you'll help me to say what needs to be said. I pray you'll give me the message needed today. And if there's one in our midst today that's never been saved, never trusted you as Savior, do not have that peace in their heart today of knowing their sins have been forgiven, I pray this will be the day, the hour, the moment they'll turn from their sins and put their trust in you. And they'll come forward and tell us about it here in this morning service. Bless now. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Thank you. Be seated. Here's a marvelous story. It's the story of what we call the Gadarene demoniac. And the reason he's called Gadarene demoniac is because he's from the area called Gadarene. And he's demon possessed. I mean, he has legions in him. That means he has multitudes. Multitudes of demons are inside of this man. And they have been there for a long time, perhaps weeks or months, maybe years. We don't know how long this man has been possessed with these demons. Now, there's no way that I could describe to you what this man must have looked like. He's been possessed with these unbelievable multitude of demons. The Bible said he was naked. He wore no clothes. I mean, you can imagine how ugly this thing is, this situation. To see a man naked is the ugliest thing I think anybody could look at, really. I mean, it's just ugly. And he's ugly. He has no clothes. He was destitute. He lived out in the cemetery and in the mountains. And night and day, the people down in the village where he was from could hear him howling and screaming like a coyote or like some wild person. Night and day, and he cut himself and he scratched himself. And you can imagine what he looked like. His hair probably has not been combed in perhaps years. It's just, he's a monster, I tell you. He looks like a monster. I mean, it's just unbelievable to describe to you what this man looked like. He was a prisoner in his own body. There's no way he can get out. No man could tame him. They tried to help him. They chained him to rocks. They chained him to trees, trying to keep him from wandering all over the place. But he, with the power of all of those multitude of demons, he would just snap those chains and break them. Be back out screaming and yelling and with all that happened to him and all of those things. And he can't help it. He's possessed with that. He can't get loose. He's bound by it. But one day, he looked out across that Sea of Galilee and he saw a little boat coming. And in that boat was a man who had power over all flesh. In that boat was a man who was the creator of the heavens and the earth. In that man was a man who had power over demons. Well, this demon-possessed man saw that boat coming, and when it landed at the shore, then the man went running down. This demon-possessed maniac, this monster, went running down. And as Jesus got out, the demons within inside this man realized what Jesus was going to do. And they knew it. The demons knew him, and they began to talk with him. They'd be using this man's voice box. The demons began to talk with Jesus, and they began to bargain with him. They realized that Jesus was doing something with them. And so they began to ask him, said, "Don't." And they pleaded with Jesus. The demons said, "Don't send us back to the deep." In other words, into the bottomless pit where they came from. They said, "Don't send us back there." And then they said, "Send us into the swine." There was a herd of swine, pigs, hogs, up on the hillside. About 2,000. Now that's a big herd of swine, isn't it? I mean, can you imagine 2,000 hogs? Even the smell. Can you imagine the smell? You ever been around a hog lot? Man, it's the smell, stinkingest place you ever been. And can you imagine? Here's 2,000 of them up there on this hill. That took several people to take care of that many hogs. I mean, you know, they don't. I'm sure they didn't have fences like we do, and all of that. And so, the demons inside this man said, "Send us into the hogs. Send us into the swine." And Jesus said, "All right, that'll be fine. Go into the swine." And those demons, as he cast them out, they went into those hogs. There were 2,000. That's how many. This man had so many demons. There was 2,000 hogs. And they went inside the hogs, and the Bible said those hogs ran down the hillside, and the sea was right there, and they went down the hillside and into the sea, and they committed homicide right there. 2,000 of them drowned in that Sea of Galilee. Wow, what a sight! I mean, these people taking care of these hogs. They saw what was going on. Boy, you can imagine. They'd never seen anything take place like that had happened to them. So they all went running back into town. And they began to tell about everything. Said, "You won't believe what's just happened. this maniac, this wild man, this monster, something's happened to him. And you won't believe what happened to our hogs. They all went running down the hill and they committed suicide. They drowned themselves in the ocean. And so they told this whole town, they said, come and look. And they brought the whole town in. And they got the shock of their life. When they got to where Jesus was, here was this maniac, this monster. Oh, but he's not like that anymore. He's not like that at all. Something's happened to him. Something's changed inside of him. No doubt his hair has been combed back a little. And his face, it doesn't have that monster, wild, horrible eye stare, that look that a demon-possessed person would have. Doesn't have it anymore. And guess what? He's got clothes on. And he's seated. He's seated at the feet of Jesus. I can just see that scene. And you know what I think? I think the Lord, there he sat by him. I think the Lord must have had his arm around him. I think he loved him, don't you?
Yeah.
In fact, that's the reason he came over there, was to do this. And he had his arm around him. They were talking and laughing and enjoying the fellowship and all. Just a wonderful time. And these people, the Bible said, they could not believe what they had seen. Jesus didn't stay long. He told the men, said, well, I've got to go. And as he's getting back into the ship, the man said to him, I want to go with you. I want to be where you are. I want to be in your presence. You know what I found out a long time ago? When a person gets saved, when Jesus really comes into their heart, when they're born again, you know what? You know what they want to do? They want to be where Jesus is. You know what I found a long time ago? If you're really born again, Jesus lives within your heart, you don't have to beg you to go to church. You want to be there. That's where Jesus is. You don't have to beg you to read your Bible. You don't have to beg you to pray. You don't have to beg you to do all those things. Why? Because you want to be where Jesus is. He's done something for you. He's changed your life. You're a new creature. Old things have been passed away. And now you're born again. Now Jesus lives in your heart. And you're on your way to heaven. Well, that was this man. He said, I want to go with you. I want to be where you are. And Jesus said, no, I've got something better for you. He said, I want you to stay here. And he said, I want you to be a witness for me. And I want you to go back into that town where you came from. I don't know if this man had a family. I'm not sure. The Bible doesn't go into detail to tell us maybe he had a wife, maybe he had children, maybe he had all of those things. I don't know. It doesn't say. But Jesus said, you go back and you tell your family and you tell those around what great things the Lord hath done for thee. Man, he had something to tell, don't you think? I mean, he had a story to tell, just like I do. I was saved when I was 9 years old, but I've got a story to tell. It's just like it happened yesterday, April 20th, 1949. I've got a birthday coming up, a spiritual birthday soon. And I could tell you, I could take you to the very place where Jesus came into my heart and changed my life and made me a new creature and put something in me, His Spirit, His Holy Spirit, abiding in me. And now, I want to be where Jesus is. I want to tell what Jesus did for me. I've told it all over the country. I've told it in gas stations. I've told it in on bus stations. I've told it on airplanes. I've told it to the down and out. I want to tell others what Christ has done for me. And that's what this man. In fact, he went back in the town. The Bible says later that Jesus came back. And when he did, the whole town came out to see it. This guy, he did a great work. He was a great missionary. It's untelling what all that he did. But here's the story. What about you? If you're saved today, and some of you shook your head a moment ago, and you said, yes, I'm born again. Yes, I know the Lord. Yes. Go tell your family about it. Go tell someone. Go tell somebody in your home. Go tell your neighbor. Go tell someone what Christ has done for you. I try to do that every day. I don't want a day to go by. I don't tell somebody what Jesus has done for me. So go home. And you say, well, preacher, what should I say? Well, let me give you a couple of suggestions. Number one, go home and tell thy friends that he has released us from the pit of sin. Well, that's it, isn't it? We there to say we've been released from the pit of sin. The psalmist wrote it like this. In Psalm chapter 40 and verse 2, he said, he brought me up also out of a horrible pit, out of the miry clay, and set my feet upon a rock, and established my going. You see, before we were saved, we were in a dung pit. I mean, we were down in a smelly, stinky, dirty, filthy, like a hog pen, like a filthy pit. That's the kind of pit we were in before we were saved. We were desperate, in a prison. There was no way to get out. This man could not get loose from those demons. There was no way he could get loose. There was no way he could get out those demons out of him. He's possessed with him. And unless the Lord intervenes. And that's what happened to us. Yes, we were in prison. We were dangerous. We were in a dangerous position, like quicksand. Listen to me. If you're lost today, you're sinking. Sinking deep in sin, like the old song we sing. I was sinking deep in sin, far from the peaceful shore. And that's the way we are when we're lost. We're sinking down in sin, in that deep pit. Unless the Lord intervenes. Unless the Lord pulls us up. And that's what the Lord did for us that are saved. Oh, go home and tell thy friends. We've been delivered from the pit. From the pit from which we have been rescued. Isn't that wonderful? But number two, go home and tell thy friends that he's removed us from darkness. Before we were saved, see, we lived in dark. People that are not born again live in darkness as far as spiritual things are concerned. But you know, Paul wrote in the book of Colossians chapter 1 and in verse 12, he said, giving thanks unto the Father. Giving thanks. By the way, how long has it been since you gave thanks to the Lord? Huh? You ever just stop and give thanks to the Lord for your food? I watch people in the restaurant all the time. Very few is seldom I ever see anybody bow their head and thank the Lord for the food that they're eating. Do you ever do that? You ever just thank the Lord for the air you breathe, for the water you drink, for the food that you eat? You ever thank the Lord for the home you have? You ever thank the Lord for the car? Just Paul says giving thanks unto the Father, which hath made us meet to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light. Listen to this. And here's what I'm saying. Who hath delivered us from the power of darkness and hath translated us into the kingdom of his dear Son. See, that's what happened. We were blind to our condition before you got saved. You know, people out here that are lost, they don't have any idea what you're talking about. I'm just as good as the next man, they say. And, you know, they don't realize they're in darkness. We were blind to our corruption. The Bible said there's nothing good. Nothing good in a person that's not saved. No, not one. There's nothing good in anyone that is not born again. We were blind to our captivity. We didn't know. We didn't know we were lost. We didn't know we were on our way to hell, did we? Until the Bible revealed it to us. Until the Holy Spirit showed us that we were not saved and that we were going to hell. And we'd be in darkness forever and forever and forever. Boy, I got something to tell. I'm no longer in that darkness. I'm no longer in that awful place. I no longer am in the pit and all of those things. I've been delivered. I've been delivered from the darkness which I was in. You see, before I got saved, I didn't know anything. I thought I was good as the next fellow. In fact, I thought I was a pretty good boy. I went to when I was 9 years old, we lived in the country. Actually, the foothills of the Appalachian Mountains, very poor section of Kentucky. And that's where I was born. I went to a one-room school, meaning that we just had one teacher who taught 8 grades. It was just an old building about the size of this church, about this size, right? Maybe not as big as this auditorium here. And I think we maybe had 20 or 21 students. One or two was in the primer, or they call it kindergarten today. They call it primer. Two or three was in the first grade, one or two in the second, third, and all of that. But one teacher went around and taught all 8 grades. And she taught that all day. And that's the kind of school I went to. Our young boy, most of us boys were barefooted. We didn't have shoes. Didn't want shoes. Didn't like shoes. Except in wintertime, of course, you had to have a pair of shoes. And we had them old overalls, you know, the bib overalls with that snap up and the blue denim shirts and all. That's what I did. But we had this, in this little one-room school house, we had this missionary. Actually, he was a Baptist preacher. And he would come to our school once a month. And he had a little bitty accordion. Remember those little hand things? You could do accordion, made a little noise. And he brought that accordion. And he would, us boys and girls there, we were barefooted. Girls had on feet sack dresses. You all don't know what that is, do you? You know what a feet sack dress is? You do? You must have been, you're not as old as I am, I know. But anyway, the feet sacks used to feed you, like they're feeding your cow, or feeding the hogs and different things. feed came in beautiful sacks. They would decorate those sacks. And so you buy the feed, and then you had the sacks, and women take those sacks and make dresses out of them. But anyway, the girls were there. And this fellow would preach. He first would sing songs. He taught us those courses. First time I ever heard the song, Jesus Loves Me, This I Know. First time I ever heard that, he taught us that. He taught, this little light of mine, I'm going to let it shine. This little light of mine, I'm going to let it shine. Let it shine, let it shine, let it shine. Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. Praise ye the Lord. That's what he taught, those courses. And I haven't heard them in a long time. I don't even know if they sing them in churches anymore or not. But that's what we sang, those old courses. And he taught those and all. And then he passed out tracts for boys and girls to read. And then he gave out New Testaments, beautiful little New Testaments for boys and girls who had learned Scripture. He gave an assignment, sort of like a one. He gave an assignment, and each month, if you could say, if you'd memorize your verses, he'd give you a New Testament. Well, I never was able to memorize all those Scriptures, but oh, I wanted. But he did give out a little bitty booklet. It was about an inch tall and about an inch wide, and it was red inside. And a red cover on it. And inside was one verse, John 3:16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. First time I ever saw that. In that little book. I still got mine, by the way. After all those years, I still got my little booklet that he gave us. And then this man would preach. I mean, he preached there in his little one-room schoolhouse. That's 20 or 21 students there. From all ages and everything. And he would preach. And I don't know if you've ever heard a mountain preacher from Kentucky preach or not. But I'll tell you what. When they preach, they spit and slobber and hang from the ceiling. And I mean, they're wild. And, you know, they holler and scream. Well, that's the way he'd preach right there in that schoolhouse. And it's boys and girls. Boy, we're sitting there watching him, you know. All of that. Our eyes on him. Well, one day he was preaching. And right in the middle... Right in the middle of his sermon, he stopped and he said, "Hey," said, "how many of you boys and girls here today have never told a lie?" Well, as I told you, I thought I was a pretty good boy, you know, I hadn't done anything too wrong, and so I raised my hand like that. That preacher went wild. I mean, he absolutely went wild. He come up out of, "Young man, you," he pointed his finger at me and he said, "you just told your first lie." Oh, I was so embarrassed. I sunk down and down and down in my seat. But you know what? I realized that day I was a liar. For the first time in my life, I'm 9 years old. For the first time in my life, I realized that day I was a sinner. And I realized if I died like that, I wasn't going to go to heaven because I was a sinner. See, to go to heaven, you've got to be perfect. I knew I wouldn't. I mean, I knew that day I was not perfect. I was a sinner. I was on my way to hell. Oh, what a wonderful, wonderful thing happened to me. Not that day. I didn't get saved that day. It wasn't the preacher's fault. In the meantime, my family moved to Detroit, Michigan, where I actually grew up and graduated from high school. But you can talk about the Beverly Hillbillies moving to California. You ain't seen nothing. Do you see that bunch of hillbillies that moved from Kentucky in the mountains and moved to Detroit, Michigan? In fact, we moved to a real elite subdivision, Roseville, Michigan. I started the school there. It was unbelievable. I ain't got time to tell you all the stories that happened. But anyway, it's an interesting story. But we started going to church, and I'm still lost. I'm a liar. In the meantime, my dad got saved. My mother got saved. My sister got right with the Lord. She got saved. And we're all members of this little church, Baptist church. And we're meeting a bit. But I'm lost. I'm a liar. I'm going to hell if I die like that. I know that. I mean, I'm under conviction of sin, brother. I know. I'm scared to death. I'm going to go to hell. I didn't want to go to hell. I still don't want to go to hell. You think I want to live in a lake of fire forever and forever and forever and forever? No. No, I don't. And I don't want either. And I don't want you to either. But that day, this preacher preached. April 20th, 1949. And he told that wonderful story that God loved me. And Jesus died for me. And he rose from the grave so I could go to heaven. And he told that wonderful story. If I put my trust in him, he'd save me. and he'd take my soul to heaven when I die. Oh, I couldn't wait for him to give the invitation, them sing a song. I couldn't wait. I wanted. And soon as we stood to sing, I started out. Well, my dad grabbed me. He thought I was going to the bathroom. I was going to disturb the service, you know. So I thought, oh, Lord, I've waited all this time. My dad's not going to let me sing. I caught him not looking. I slipped around. I came around. The preacher was standing there. It's just like it happened yesterday. And he took me by the hand and said, why are you coming? And I said, I want to be saved. And I'll tell you, that moment, Jesus came into my heart. I want to tell somebody what Jesus... See, I've been saved from that darkness. I've been saved from that awful pit. I've been saved from hell. Wonderful, how wonderful it is to know I'm born again. You know something else, number three. Go home and tell thy friends that we've been restored. He's restored us from the pollution that we've seen. Isn't it great to know that? And Paul wrote and said this again in 1 Corinthians chapter 6. He said in verse 11, and such were some of you. But you are washed. And he said, and you are sanctified. But you are justified in the name of the Lord Jesus and by the Spirit of God. Hey, you know what? If you're saved today, we've been washed. In the lake? No. In the river, we've been what? No. In the pond? No. No, we've been washed in the blood. Amen. Amen. What can wash away my sin? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. What can make me whole again? Nothing but the blood of Jesus, right? I've been washed in the blood. It's the blood that saves my soul, not the water. There's no kind of water can wash away your sins. There's no water that can make you clean again, as far as your sins again. It takes the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. And so Paul said, we have been washed. We've been sanctified. After you're saved, you're sanctified. You're set apart. You know why? You want to serve the Lord. You want to live for Him. You're sanctified. He puts into us that we want to grow and learn and read and study the Bible and learn more about heaven and about where we're going to live forever and forever. We've been saved. We've been justified. You know what that word means? That means we've been made. If you're saved today, you've asked Jesus to come into your heart. You've been made just as if you had never sinned. In God's sight. When God looks at me, He don't see my sins anymore. You know what He sees? The blood of Jesus Christ. That's what's washed away my sin. I'm still a sinner. I don't live a perfect life. If you don't believe me, ask my wife. No, don't ask her. She'd tell you too much. But I'm not a perfect person. But in God's sight, I've been justified by the blood of the Lord Jesus. Hey, do I have something I want to tell? Man, I got something I want to tell it around the world. I want to tell others what the Lord... And then something else. Go home and tell thy friends tell them that we've been rescued. He's rescued us from God's wrath. You know what? I don't have to worry about hell anymore. I told you I didn't want to go there. I don't have to worry about that anymore. I never worry about it. You know why? Because I know I'm saved. I know I'm going to heaven. What an awful thought. Yeah, hell, I want to tell you, friends, you're looking at a preacher that still believes this Bible. I believe it from cover to cover and lid to lid. This is God's Word. I don't believe there's any mistakes. I don't believe there's any contradictions. I believe God has preserved His Word for us today, this old King James Bible. He's saved it just for us. He's preserved it so we'd have something to read and study and apply. And brother, when the Bible says there's a heaven to gain and a hell to shun, I believe that, don't you?
Amen.
Hell's a real place. It burns with fire. Oh, thank God I'm not going there. Thank the Lord I don't have to worry about hell. Suffering is eternal. Sorrow is endless. Separation has been established forever. But thank be unto God, we're not going to that place anymore. Aren't you glad you're saved? Aren't you glad you know Christ is your Savior? Go home and tell thy friends. And then last of all, go home and tell thy friends that He's redeemed us from death. You know, you don't have to worry about death anymore if you're saved. And now put her down. Put this down. You're going to die. I'm going to die. If the Lord doesn't come, I wish He would. We could all go to heaven together. But more than likely, that may not take place in my lifetime. It could. But I'm going to die. And so are you. Everybody here is going to die. Everybody. It's appointed unto man wants to die. I mean, that's an appointment you've got to keep. And so the best thing to do is make preparation for that appointment, right? Best thing to do is make sure everything's all right. You know, people, you know, they were worried about dying. I mean, people take all kinds of pills. They take everything. They go everywhere. They do everything. Why? Because we want to live. Everybody wants to live. But death is sure. Death is a, a, a,
a thing. And you know, I'm not ready to die myself. I told somebody the other day, if I knew where I was going to die, I'd never go near the place, would you? If I knew where that place was, I wouldn't go close to it. Because I'm going to live. I'm going to live as long as the Lord let me live. I'm going to serve Him. I'm going to do what I can for the Lord. But I'm telling you one day, I'm going to die. Now listen. Oh, death, where is thy sting? Oh, grave, where is thy victory? For a Christian, death to us is like David wrote, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death. Death to a Christian is just like a shadow. Death to you and me, as the shadow of a gun can't hurt you, as the shadow of a knife can't stab you, as the shadow of a truck can't run over you, so it's true with death. For you and me, it's just absent from the body and home with the Lord. Wow. Look what we've got. We don't have to worry about death. Last year, I think it was, maybe 2 years ago, we read about it. Remember that guy out in Oregon, that maniac, went into the high school, lined all those students up against the wall. Remember that? And he said to them, he said, as he had his gun pointed at those young people, he had his gun pointed at them, said, are you a Christian? And if they said, yeah, boom, he blew their heads off right there in front of everybody. Next word, are you a Christian? They said, no, he shot their legs. But if you're a Christian, he shot their head. And he came. You know what I thought? I wonder what I would have said if I'd been lined up against that wall and he asked me if I was a Christian. I don't know, but I hope I would have said, yes, sir, brother. Shoot me right between the eyes and I'll be in glory just like that. Amen. But I tell you one secret. Those young people, and he went down the line, several of them said, yes, I'm Christian. They knew he was going to die right there. But I got news for you. Death had no sting on them. The Lord had already just taken him. You don't have to worry about death. I don't care how horrible, you might die in a fire. You may die in a terrible crash. You may die in an airplane crash. I fly all the time. I think, man, you know, someday or other I may die in a plane crash. But it doesn't matter where you are. As long as the Lord is your Savior. Death has no fear. Death has no sting. The grace of God will be right there when it's time for me to die. The grace of God will be there just to carry me right over into glory. My wife and I was in the Chicago airport the other night, waiting on somebody to pick us up. You know, we was down where the baggage is and cars were coming through. And these big, long stretch cars were coming through, picking up movie stars and it's coming out and people were cheering, all of that kind of business. Big, beautiful, fancy stretch. You know those limousines, you've seen them. So I said to my wife, I said to her, Sue, I got one of them coming after me one of these days. She said, you do? When? I said, the moment I take my last breath. I said, God's just going to send one of those stretch chariots down from heaven. And they're going to pull right in front of me. And the angels are going to be there. They're going to open the door and say, get on board, Bob. It's time for you to go home. And I tell you what, they're going to zoom me right into glory land. Guess who the first person I'm going to see when I get to heaven? Who? I'm going to see Jesus. You know what I want him to say? Welcome home, Bob. Come on in. We've been waiting on you, boy. Look at all these people here that have been waiting for you to come. There's your mama. There's your daddy. There's your sister. There's your uncles, your aunts, many of them you want to know. And all those people you preach to around the world, they've been waiting on you, Bob. Come on in. Your mansion's ready. Oh, isn't that wonderful? That's what death is for us as a Christian. And that's what this man, Jesus, said, go home. Tell thy friends what great things the Lord hath done for thee. I wonder if we could take that challenge here this morning. I wonder if you'd be willing to say, that's me. I want to tell somebody what Jesus has done for me. Or perhaps you're here today and you don't have that story. Maybe you haven't had a change take place in your life. Maybe you can't pinpoint one day, right there, Jesus came into my heart. He saved my soul. I was born again. And now I'm on my way there. Maybe you don't have that today. Oh, I beg of you, don't leave here this morning until you can say like me and the preacher today, I know whom I have believed in. And I'm persuaded he's able to keep that which I've committed unto him against that day. Do you know that today? Do you know it? Let's stand to our feet for a moment. We'll bow our heads. Then we'll have the pianist play. And the pastor will come.
But if God is speaking to you this morning, whatever your need may be, maybe you're saved, but you need to come and confess, preacher, I'm just not living for the Lord. I don't have what you have. I don't have that joy. I don't have that happiness in my life. Something's missing. Oh, listen, you know what it is? It's sin in your life, friend. Get it right. Confess your sins. Here this morning, get down on your knees. Here at this altar, it's a good place. Come forward. Get down and just ask God to forgive you. Get back in fellowship with the Lord. Whatever. If you're lost today, oh, Jesus died for you. He was buried. He arose again. He'll come into your heart. He'll save your soul today if you'll trust Him. We'll be glad to pray with you. We'll be glad to talk with you. Pastor, me, others. We'll be glad to help you any way we can. If you need help this morning, you do what God's leading you to do. Would you do that? Dear Lord, we bow our heads now, and we thank you for these that have sat so in, they've sat so attentively. They've heard the message. Now I pray the Holy Spirit will speak to their heart. Lord, save that soul that's lost, that's near as hell. Help them to come and confess it today. And help them to be able to do what you're leading them to. Maybe some need to join the church. Maybe some need to follow the Lord in baptism. Lord, your will be done. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. And the pastor's coming. He'll take charge.
You sense that urgency today? Why don't you come? I couldn't help but sit there and think, boy, if I wasn't saved, I'd get saved in a hurry. You'd never heard a simpler plan of salvation, I'm telling you. He told you clearly what you need to do. If you're not saved today, would you come?